You're traveling through another dimension, a dimension comprised of knowledge, opinions, and entertainment. A journey on a virtual information highway into a wondrous land whose boundaries are more distant than the outer reaches of the Twitter sphere. Your next stop, The Trend Zone.
Hello and welcome to The Trend Zone. Dave here with Casey, and we are the football dudes. Are you ready, Casey?
Yes, my friend, I am ready.
Right, that's the signpost up ahead. Your next stop, The Trend Zone. In today's episode, we'll talk about some COVID-19 reshuffling of the schedule, the pursuit of the perfect season, a little bit of Survivor, fantasy go-back starts, and of course we'll check into some of the awesome games heading into week 13. But before we get to all that, Casey, you got to give a tasty nug out to the peeps, right? Come on.
Oh yeah, dude. It's the dankest season for dank nugs, bro. And this season has been crazy. But dude, 35 games, there's been a team that's been down at least 10 points to come back and win. That is the most ever in NFL history, dude. And we see it week in and week out. You just rolling them dice. You don't know which game it's going to be, but you know
someone. Or just turn on the Chargers.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's why we're so in tune with it, because we watch it every week.
We're watching the wrong end of that particular nug, Casey. I got the stem and a seed over here. All right. All right, bro. Let's move it along. And out of that dismal nugular, let's head into the top trending stories. Casey, COVID-19 has been wreaking havoc. Somehow the league is barely navigating this thing, man.
Yeah, dude, they're playing the old switcheroo, man. And you know, we're coming off the week where we had some Wednesday afternoon football, which I could get used to. No one's complaining about 12:30 on a
Wednesday.
Was
okay. Dude, that was okay.
We'll talk about how good the game was or not, but moving into next week, dude, we have two Monday night football games, and then we have TNF, no, not Thursday night football, Dave, Tuesday night football. My Dallas Cowboys are going on the road to play the Baltimore Ravens. And Dave, a fun fact, after that Tuesday game, the Cowboys will have played a game on every day of the week. Not all this season, but in their illustrious history, which is pretty neat.
Yeah, and the NFL this year will, by the end of the season, play a game on every day of the week, as there is a Friday game on the actual schedule that we're heading into, unless COVID reschedules that puppy. All right, let's talk about the afternoon delight, which was the NFL rescheduled football game between the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, dude. You know, these games are usually close, and it's a grimy grudge match.
Yep.
This kind of it was grimy, but not due to great play on both ends. It was. It was football, so we watched, got close at the end, so it was fun. But, dude, it just, you know, it come to expect more out of these teams. And the Ravens, bro, they had so many players out, including Lamar Jackson, Dobbins, and Ingram. I mean, they were just littered with, missing players. That said, they still got in there, but they did look like a team that hadn't practiced in a week. And, RG3 was in there. He wasn't great. He did his best when he was running the football. Couple questionable calls in there. Should have been a delay game before halftime. And then late in that game on that last fourth down, I was like, oh, he's short. The Ravens are going to get the ball. No, it was close enough, first down. So just brutal for the Ravens. And now, dude, they've been swept by those Steelers. And if the season ended today, they would not be in the playoffs.
Casey, the funny thing for me is the press conference of Tomlin at the end. You would have thought that they got blown out and they were 0-11. Regarding the team's red zone failures, including a number of drop passes, Tomlin asked what he attributes that to. His entire answer, us sucking.
Dude, when you're undefeated that far in, you got to find ways to motivate your guys. And he was sending not so subtle messaging.
Exactly. Casey, so the Pittsburgh Steelers were the winners, but they were also losers in that particular day.
Yeah, total bummer, dude. They lose linebacker Bud Dupree. Looks like that's a torn ACL. And he was really coming on and a major contributor to that defense. Luckily, there's a lot more talent around him, but it's a little sketchy. It's not quite the Dak situation, but very similar for Bud.
Yeah, and it's a bummer that he was, in fact, on the franchise tag, and this rehab is going to take him well into next season. So his status at landing that huge mega contract is certainly jeopardized at this point. Casey, let's move it ahead, though. Let's talk about the excitement that's building here as we're working on the potential perfect season.
Yeah, dude, you know, they're hosting these Raiders this week, and then it's out to Seattle, out to our Los Angeles Rams, the Browns, and then at New England. I think the Jets are going to run the table, bro.
Casey, I was not talking about the Jets going winless, bro. Come on now. You're just trying to bury the Jets. I'm going to have to bring that up to our Jet friends and let them know that you're pounding on them here. I'm talking, of course, about the Steelers going 16-0. Casey, let's talk about their schedule and what the likelihood that of them running the table is.
Yeah, well, dude, they got the football team on Monday night coming off a short week, playing on Wednesday. And then the trickiest game for them, I think, is the following week at Buffalo. And Buffalo kind of needs that game to assert their relevancy in that AFC, you know, playoff battle there. So it'll be interesting. And then at the Bengals, hosting the Colts, and then at Cleveland. So all winnable, yet a handful of losable games there too. We saw that Tomlin messaging the team, trying to get them motivated. I'm a little worried about that running game, even if a healthy James Conner comes back for these Steelers. I don't know if you can just have Big Ben back there throwing all the time. So it's going to be interesting down the stretch there, but not much wiggle room with the Chiefs, one loss right behind them.
Yeah, no doubt about that, Casey. Let's move it along. Talk about another playoff-bound, at least apparently playoff-bound squad. It's the Dolphins, but they're having a little trouble with one of Tua's digits.
Yeah, the little fin. I mean, the thumb there, it's not responding all that well. And head coach Brian Flores says that Tua is the dude when he is healthy and back in there. The way I've seen Fitzmagic play, all that, too, you know, little game of P-knuckle. He gets the 1-2-3 P-knuckle. That thumb is pinned. I'm going to go ahead and put two on the bench. They got a chance to get to the playoffs, dude. Wouldn't this be a glorious, like, run for Fitzmagic to actually, you know, lead a team and get into the playoffs and see what they can do? There's a lot of talent on that Miami club. Bring in Tua for a couple of, you know, different packages, but dude, I think you gotta run with Fitzmagic until he proves he's not the dude for this season anyways.
Well, it's not your call, Casey. Coach Brian Flores begs to differ. He says that Tua will be the starter when 100% healthy. There's your caveat though, Casey.
Yeah.
He's only 99.9%. Better go with Fitzmagic. Alright, Case, moving along. We're open arms in Seattle welcoming back once again. You know, this team is depleted at wide receiver. Josh Gordon, coming back from his seventh suspension, will be joining the Seahawks in the near future.
I know. There's such a deficit at that position. I just feel sorry for Russell Wilson, man. Just has nobody to throw the ball to there. And now you're going to bring in Josh Gordon, dude. You know, if he has anything left of what he was,
he's great.
God, this guy for a playoff push, this could put them over the top on the offense to get them to the Super Bowl if he can do anything. And now he doesn't have to be a focal point of the offense.
Yep.
You just find ways for him to contribute, man. That could be bad things for the rest of the teams in the NFC.
Yeah, wow. They may not play any defense, but they may not have to play any defense as long as Russ has got the ball on the last possession, man. And that arsenal, wow. All right, Casey, let's move it into our Survivor / Three Strikes pool. How did you do this week?
Yeah, Dave, we both had the Saints over the Broncos. Broncos rolling out a wide receiver there at the quarterback position.
Right.
Felt pretty confident, a lot of confidence in that pick last week.
Yeah, Casey, and speaking of confidence, the most popular correct pick was the Cleveland Browns over the Jaguars. Most popular incorrect pick, the Rams laying an egg against the 49ers.
Dave, 2 weeks ago, I didn't go with your Chargers to beat the Jets. It cost me my first strike. The most popular pick heading into next week, shocker, the Raiders over the Jets.
Whoever's playing the Jets. All right, Casey, fantasy time. Let's do the fantasy go-back starts of the week. Did you have anything for the people?
You know, I was a little bit worried after the Thanksgiving Day games. When I looked over and the Disco Donkeys were over at 50 points, mostly because Gibson ran all over my Cowboys for 31 Oof. Points. But, Dave, there is no team hotter than the Foul Boys right now. Winners of six in a row actually had the perfect lineup. not much on my bench, so a clean sheet, and I'm second, so I did cash in a little bit too. How did you do, bro?
Yes, well, I did okay, Casey, in the fact that I won the game, but I, as usual, did not finish in the top three where the money resides. Had I played Amari Cooper and Austin Eckler instead of DeAndre Hopkins and Josh Jacobs, I would have had 22.2 more points in first place by 0.02. And that would have been some good cash for me. But that, again, that did not happen. And I would not have done those moves anyways. I wouldn't have benched those two dudes. So it just doesn't make any sense. So I think I'm clean here in my overall. But, man, if I would have had a hunch, I could be in the money.
Man.
At least I got the win, though.
Yeah, and next week got a little match for the first place in our division, the Falboys and Lightning Strikes. It's a huge game. The winner of that will get a bye going into the playoffs.
Right.
And the Extronomical Fantasy Show will be back next week with our eyes on the fantasy playoffs. You do not want to miss that. It'll be on our YouTube channel. Yes, sir. All right, dudes. Hey, we want to remind everybody out there, if you have any holiday shopping to do and you're going to use Amazon before you buy, head on over to footballdudes.com. Click on our Amazon link. It takes you right to Amazon. It won't cost you a dime, but it might help us make a few bucks. And we've got presents to buy. We've got family members that need stuff. So help a couple dudes out.
All right, Case. Let's move it along into the action. Heading into week 13.
What?
Man, yeah, week 13, dude.
Slipping away.
We got some good ones to talk about, Casey. Let's get it started with the Cleveland Browns at the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee at home, favored by 5.5. The over-under is 54. What do you got?
Yeah, these Brownies off to their best start since 1994, Dave, when they were also 8-3. And a big reason why is Cleveland has the league's top rushing offense, over 160 yards a game, dude. And a big reason for that is the 1-2 combo of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. But Chubb, dude, this guy is averaging over 6 yards a carry, bro.
Wow.
He's starting
epic
beast. Yeah, dude. And last week he had a season high 176 scrimmage yards, 144 which were rush, and the TD, dude. He's looking for his fourth game in a row with at least 110 yards rushing, bro. The Stefanski running scheme has been awesome for this team, and they're winning games because of it.
Yep.
They're also winning games because the last four games, Baker has not thrown an interception, and there's been three straight wins because of it. He's looking for that fifth in a row without an interception. And when you can contain Baker, there's been pretty good results there. Now flip it over to the other side of the ball day. They should be getting Myles Garrett back in his 9.5 sacks, and that's good for a defense that has been pretty damn good up to this point.
Yeah.
They're most likely without Denzel Ward. And they placed Ronnie Harrison on IR, so he's definitely out. But they have to stop the run, which they've been pretty good at most of the year, allowing just over 83 yards a game per carry, which is top 10 in the league. But the last couple weeks, they've started to give up more. And last week, James Robinson went over 100 yards, so I'm a little bit worried about that. You know,
right,
they're probably not going to catch the Steelers no matter what happens in this AFC North, but they're holding on to a wild card spot. But dude, they could knock the Ravens out of contention next week, and that would be sweet, especially with that butt kicking they got at the beginning of the season. So you get to knock the Ravens out in a week, and you secure your spot in there. This is a great match for the Browns. We've seen them beat up on okay teams. We've yet to see what they do, or yet to see a win against one of the top teams in the NFL, dude. And guess what? One of the top teams in the NFL is on the schedule for Sunday.
Yeah, it is. That would be the Tennessee Titans, dude, coming off a huge divisional win at Indianapolis, man. And prior to that, they beat the Ravens. So they've been winning some good football games. They actually won 3 of the last 4. The only one they lost was the one to the Colts, so they ended up splitting that. But you know what? This Ravens squad, man, this Titans squad, they are playing some top-notch ball right now. Tannehill continues, ever since he got there and got into the starting lineup, man, has played exceptionally well. His quarterback rating, nearly 107. Only 4 picks on the season to go with his 23 touchdowns, so he's doing a great job. They're very very efficient. Last week, 108 quarterback rating, and he tossed a TD and ran for a touchdown. So the only thing, their only weak spot is when they're in sort of third and long, and they really need to just, when it's obvious they're passing, because they're such a great play action team with the run threat there. But A.J. Brown continues to be an absolute beast. Last week, just under 100 yards and a touchdown. He's averaging 16 yards a catch. So big plays out of A.J. Brown. And you don't really have to go deep to him because he can just break tackles. He's such an absolute beast. Jonnu Smith still tied in the for touchdowns with, you know, for the whole league with 7 touchdowns. That's Kelsey. You wouldn't think that necessarily. But Jonnu Smith, man, very productive down there in the red zone. In fact, this is a very good red zone, one of the best in the NFL. They score on 73% of their red zone possessions. So scoring a touchdown, not settling for 3, man. When they get there, they smell the end zone. And talk about a dude who smells the end zone. It's Derrick Henry, rushing for 178 yards last week to go with 3 touchdowns, man. He's done 178 yards and 3 touchdowns 3 times this year, okay, or a little bit better, you know, that as the low mark. So, wow, this guy is, man, when he gets it going, he's an absolute beast, especially as you get further along in the game. Defense, you know, they've been actually improving the last handful of games, but they're still, statistically speaking, below average in yards and points given up. Not a great pass defense or a great run defense. The thing that they are good at is they get the ball. So and on offense they don't give it up. So they're second in the league at plus 11 in the giveaway takeaway, and they, you know, they've only fumbled once. They've lost one fumble all season. So pretty damn impressive there in terms of ball, you know, like holding on to the ball. And you know, that's the biggest statistic in football.
Ball security,
really.
Dave. Gotta
that's
have
right.
It.
Gotta get your hands on the ball. All right. Near, but they are near the bottom of the league with just 14 sacks. So they did lose a couple of guys, including Jayon Brown, a couple of weeks ago. But they do have some strong players in the secondary, Malcolm Butler, Kevin Byard, and a very strong defensive line with Clowney and Simmons. So the thing about this team is they know how to win close games. If they are close near the end, they just start to out-physical their opponent, wear them down, and run all over them late in the game. And I wouldn't be surprised if that happens in this game, too. Two really good running teams playing each other.
Yeah, ought to be good. It ought to be good. All right, Dave, we have a huge game coming up in the AFC South, the Indianapolis Colts at the Houston Texans. Colts are 3-point favorites on the road with the over-under of 51.
Yeah, this Colts team seems to flip back and forth between, like, really looking like a contender and then just not really showing up a little bit. And last week was one time against the Titans where they just didn't really get it done. But they had won 4 of the last 5 prior to that. So, for the most part, heading in the right direction still. Rivers, not extremely, amazing statistically speaking. 11 touchdowns only with 7 picks. So, not necessarily a typical Phillip Rivers, statistical year, but he's still working on improving his connection with guys like T.Y. Hilton, Michael Pittman. And last week, when they got down near the goal line, they pulled him out and let Jacoby Brissett run in for a couple of touchdowns, leaving some fantasy owners pretty frustrated, I am sure.
That's called a poach, Dave.
That's right. T.Y. Hilton, though, did get a touchdown last week, and he had 4 catches. It's not a lot of catches. You just expect at some point them to start clicking a little bit more. But, you know, guess what? That was his first touchdown catch of the season.
Whoa.
Really? I know. And then Michael Pittman, I mentioned, and Zach Pascal, they've become more consistent contributors to this offense, especially Pittman, obviously, after being unhealthy and now getting healthy. He's really coming along pretty good. Trey Burton has also emerged as pretty much the go-to. They've got some good tight ends, but he seems to be the guy that's been grabbing touchdown passes the last couple of weeks. And Nyheim Hines is also been really a good contributor. Jonathan Taylor missed last week. He was on the COVID list. Anytime Hines needs to put it up, he gets out there and he balls, dude. 95 yards, including 8 catches. All right? That's pretty impressive. In fact, Hines is the leading receiver on the squad, which is, I guess, probably not a good thing unless you, really love throwing it to the running backs. But Phillip Rivers does. So, you know what? Houston's defense, their second to last run defense, and that could mean some bad stuff. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, what am I saying? Houston's. I'm off track there, Casey. Great defense. Let's move on to the defense of the Colts here. Very well rounded. Up. Top nine, let's say. They've kind of slipped a little bit in the last couple of weeks, so obviously last week didn't help, but top nine in total yards, pass, run, and points. Unfortunately, a little banged up, missing a couple of key guys in the front last week, like DeForest Buckner, didn't help at all. But Darius Leonard, the linebacker, really can get it going, man. So it's going to be a fun game.
Yeah, it's really interesting, too, because these Texans got out the gate so slowly.
Yeah.
And now that it didn't help when you took DeAndre Hopkins off their squad, but Deshaun Watson is heating up, and he was so good on Thanksgiving that he got Patricia and Quinn both fired on the Lions. He was just 17-25, 318 yards and 4 touchdowns and 0 interceptions, Dave. That netted him a PR of 150.4, and he's looking for his 7th game in a row with a TD pass and 0 interceptions. One guy that's not going to be there, though, is Will Fuller, man, and that is a huge blow to this offense because he's finally been able to stay healthy, and he's been a huge contributor, especially with D-Hop being out of there. Brandon Cooks has been really nice this year, too. They lost Cobb with an injury, so look for Kiki Cootie. He's a cutie, Dave, to have an expanded role. Someone's got to step up in the absence of those other guys. Duke Johnson was pretty good last week. You know, David Johnson's been out with the concussion. I'm not sure when he's going to come back, but Duke is definitely good out of the backfield there. But they don't have a super strong running game, so that's going to put even more on Deshaun's shoulders. And you flip it over to this Texans defense, you're kicking a little dirt on them, Dave, with good reason. They haven't been great, but J.J. Watt last week had a pick six. And, Dave, a little fun fact, J.J. is the only player in NFL history to have 100 sacks and score 6 touchdowns. Remember a couple years ago when he was lining up on offense and catching a couple of those? Well, he's got 6 of them, or he did after last Thursday. So J.J. finding a little fountain of youth, too. Whitney Mercilus is heating up, too. He got a good run last week against the Lions. But they're going to be without their cornerback, Bradley Roby.
Oh.
So, you know, you can't attack this defense. You don't want those guys coming to crush Phillip Rivers, though. They're starting to play a little good football, but looking at the schedule, it might be just a little bit too late. But if they get this win against the divisional foe, then, you know, hey, you're still in it, baby. And you got one of the most dynamic playmakers in the league, so there's a chance.
Yeah, the way Deshaun's been playing, he's going to give him a chance, right?
You got All right,
Casey, let's move it along. It is the Los Angeles Rams at the Arizona Cardinals. This is a very interesting divisional battle here. Rams on the road, though, favored by 3 in this one, the over-under 48.5. And, Casey, these two teams, this is the first meeting. They'll meet again in the final week of the season. So, could be good.
Dude, the Rams really let a big opportunity slip away last week, losing to that depleted 49ers team, you know. But it was not because of Aaron Donald, dude. He's leading the league again with 10 sacks. He's had double-digit sacks in 4 straight seasons, man, and that's so impressive when you see him get doubled and triple-teamed
on the tackle position.
Yeah, dude. And in his past 4 games against those Cards, Donald has 8 combined sacks. Jalen Ramsey a little banged up last week, but he should be good to go this week, and they're going to need him against D-Hop, an old AFC South rivalry when D-Hop was on the Texans. And Ramsey was on the Jags there.
Yeah.
And Ramsey, we know what kind of mouth this guy says. He's not one to dole out compliments to anybody, but he said Hopkins is probably my toughest receiver matchup since I've been in the league. But he's excited for that challenge. So,
nice.
You know, good for that. So up until last week, man, the defense had been lights out, bro, just shutting teams down in the second half. But they didn't get help, dude. All these turnovers from the offense kind of put them in a bad position in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, speaking of turnovers, Jared Goff has got to play better. He knows it, dude, but 4 interceptions in his last 2 games. But they need better play up front, man. They are really missing Andrew Whitworth.
Big time.
The anchor of that tackle, just his leadership and his play all combined. He's still trying to help them from off the field, but they're definitely missing his presence. But Cooper Kupp last week, dude, only 2 grabs on 5 targets against the Niners. He had 13 targets the previous week against the Tampa Bay Bucks, and you saw how much more dynamic that offense was, man. You got to get this guy involved. He's a great run after the catch receiver, and he does those little underneath routes and can take them and get big yards. They got to get him his targets. Woods has been pretty steady in that offense, and he got a lot of play last week. But Josh Reynolds is starting to come along. But in my opinion, dude, they got to get Cooper Kupp going. Last week we saw Cam Akers, the rookie. He had a career-high 84 yards and a touchdown. We're starting to see what the Rams were so stoked about going into this season. They have the three-headed monster, but they really want this to be the guy moving forward. This is a huge game, Dave. Both teams would still be in the playoffs, even with the loss. Rams still have a cushion if they lose, but there's some big games coming up. You mentioned they play Zona again the last week of the season, and the week before that is at Seattle. They don't have room to mess around with any divisional games. Rams, handle your business.
Yeah, well, let's talk about this Cardinals team and, you know, whether or not they've been handling their business, Casey. Obviously, they're coming off that disappointing performance where they lost to the New England Patriots in a close one, but they've actually lost three of the last four games, and the only win was the Hail Mary, dude. So that one, I mean, they could be on a four-game slide right now with the exception of that brilliant play. And historically speaking, Sean McVay, as the Rams head coach, has never lost to the Cardinals. Cliff Kingsbury, as the Cardinals head coach, has never beaten the Rams. So this one either follows suit or is the changing of the vibe there. We'll see. This is going to be a damn good football game, though. Offensively, This Cardinals team is a heck of a lot of fun to watch. They are second in total yards and scoring, 27.6 points per game. They're fourth in rushing, and obviously a huge part of that is Kyler Murray. But he's such a dynamic athlete. He's so much fun to watch. And passing is pretty awesome, too. 19 touchdowns, 9 picks. He's over 68%, so he's getting it done there. But 650 rush yards on the season, dude, and 10 rushing touchdowns for Murray. That obviously leads the NFL for quarterbacks in yards and touchdowns. He's out in front of most running backs, in fact, in those categories, too. Hopkins, obviously the leading receiver, he's approaching 1,000 yards, but he only has 4 touchdowns, dude. Believe me, I know this personally, as he's my fantasy guy, and it just seems like he's always sitting around, and it's not until like the second half where they sort of get him a lot of touches, man. They've got to get him involved early and often because he just makes plays. He can't be covered. And then, of course, Fitzgerald and Kirk round out a very nice wide receiving group. Kenyon Drake has been really awesome ever since he arrived there last year. He had 93 yards and 2 touchdowns last week. Chase Edmonds is that other guy who is really actually a nice tandem back. So he's better out of the backfield. He's sort of that receiving back. He's fifth in receptions for running backs with 40, and he has 311 yards receiving on the season. So he's really quite productive out of the backfield there. Defensively, you know, they're basically average statistically across the board, but they're weakest in the run, where they're a bit below average. 28 sacks on the season is pretty good. It ranks them in 10th. And their secondary is pretty solid with Buda Baker and Patrick Peterson back there. Linebacker Isaiah Simmons, he was the sixth-round pick, I believe. Slow start to the season. Couldn't really – he had like an amorphous kind of position, but they settled in with him. He's been playing better, had his second sack in his career last week. This is just going to be a fun game to watch, dude, especially if the Rams can get their offense going like we expect. This could be a very good shootout, but that Rams defense is going to be very difficult challenge for Kyler to really light it up like he's accustomed to.
Yeah, muy importante this game is, Dave. Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
All right, we got a game between two division leaders. Dave, I can't say that.
You just did.
Oh,
what
I'm
the heck
sorry.
Are you talking about, Casey?
I'm sorry, people. Technically, it is. We have the New York Giants at the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks are 7.5-point favorites at home and an over-under of 46.5 in this game. Dave, did you find
Okay, so it's my task to cover the Giants on this one. yeah, okay, well, they're coming off a win, Casey. So,
All right.
Coming off a win at Cincy. They started off 0-5, and they've actually won three in a row to get back into it at this point in time. So they're on a absolute tear. They are in a near the bottom of the league in total yards, pass yards, and points. And they're sort of a rushing team at that. They're average, but here's the bummer: Danny Dimebag dude has a bad hammy. All right, and this is 2 days in a row now. He has not been able to participate in practice. They had him off to the side throwing the ball just gingerly, not letting him run around at all. And he uses his legs, obviously. It's a big part of his game. So if he can't go, and at this point tomorrow, they're just going to be crossing their fingers to see if he improves a little bit. He did not look good when we actually saw him pull up limp there, and it did not look good. It looked like a pretty significant shot. It's going to be Colt McCoy in all likelihood in this game. He's pretty much of a gamer. We'll see if he can really rile the team, the troops up here. But they don't have a ton of weaponry going on. Tight end Evan Engram, he's their leading receiver, so that's it's not usually a good sign when your tight end's the leading receiver and he's not like Kelce or somebody like that. But he did have six catches last week for 129 yards, so he's kicking some butt there, and he's almost at 500 yards on the season. However, just one touchdown on the whole season. They've got some good receivers here, Casey. So it's not really fair to say they don't. Slayton, though, has been nursing a shoulder and a foot. His production has been hit and miss big time.
Yeah.
Three TDs all year, and he did practice on Thursday, even though, like I said, he's been really kind of banged up. Sterling Shepard's the other guy who's obviously missed a big chunk of the season early. He played well last week. Golden Tate's been frustrated with his playing time all year. Some bright news in the running back department. Wayne Gallman had almost 100 yards in the score last week. He's had a rush TD in five straight games. So, hey, he's playing pretty good football. Defensively, this Giants team is 10th in yards and points, so they're pretty decent there. And yeah. They're better versus the run than the pass. So we'll see how that fares in this game against Seattle. Seattle loves to run, obviously, but I guess it's they can choose the way they want to attack this defense. So we'll see how they go. This Giants team has just got to find a way somehow to grind this game out and make it low scoring, and then somehow stop Russ at the end. Go ahead, Case, you talk.
Yeah, dude. I mean, these NFC East teams. Someone's going to struggle to get to six wins, dude.
I tried to sell this Giants team, Casey. I tried to. Did you buy it?
No, you have to compare them to football team Eagles and Cowboys to really sell them. When you compare them to the Seahawks, it's
tough.
A little bit tricky. But let's talk about these Hawks, dude.
Yeah,
Russell Wilson last week, 230 in a TD, zero interceptions. Now he's over 3,200 yards and 31 TDs. He joins Peyton Manning as the only QBs to have 3,000 passing yards and 20-plus TDs in each of the first nine seasons, dude.
Damn. Wow.
He's been gone a few years, but one of the best to ever do it, and Russ is right up there with him. Remember early in this guy's career, there was talk that he was a game manager. Like, no, this guy is elite, bro. He showed it right off the bat, and now he is one of the biggest playmakers in the NFL, and part of that is because he's got DK Metcalf over there, dude. This guy is a Hulk. He had 10 catches for a career-high 177 yards in the win last week, and he's leading the NFL with over 1,000 yards already. And he's got five games with at least 100 receiving yards this season.
Wow.
That's tied for most in the league. Oh, yeah, dude, nine touchdowns, dude. Hulk is a pretty good description of this guy. All those touchdowns, that's why the Seahawks ranked third in the NFL with over 31 points a game. Lockett was quiet that last week, so that means he's going to have a big game this week. It's kind of been the rotation between the two. Lockett's a great receiver as well.
Yeah.
Totally different body types. It's funny to look at the guys next to each other, but it's a solid, solid 1-2 there. And speaking of solid 1-2, Carson and Hyde, they're both getting healthy for these Seahawks, and it's a nice 1-2 tandem there in the backfield, both bruisers. And Pete Carroll said this week that Penny is getting real close to being back, starting to do some stuff.
Oh, that'd be exciting.
You mix that guy in, man, he's got that top-end speed. It's a lot of fun. So many weapons on the offense there. And we mentioned earlier they're going to have Josh Gordon back for the last couple games this season, man. And Dave, a few weeks ago, I said Boom 2.0 was on the horizon. The following week, they kind of crapped that bed. But the last couple, we've really seen what they can do. And Carlos Dunlap, dude.
In yeah, four he got games it after the quarterback.
Seahawks, 3.5 sacks and 5 tackle for losses. Dude, this guy is everything that they hoped he would be. And Jamal Adams, I think he's been even more that they hoped he would be. These are both looking like great trades. And Adams is becoming one of the biggest defensive playmakers in the league. He just does a bunch of everything. You can put him up at the line. He sacks the quarterback. He gets turnovers. You can play him in coverage. He's great. But, dude, the OG on this team, Bobby Wagner, over 100 tackles on the year. That's his ninth consecutive season with at least 100 tackles, dude. The guy just doesn't age. He's really good. Oh, and Dave, isn't that special? Okay. You know what's special? These Seahawks special teams, dude. I rarely talk about kickers because, well, they're kickers. But Jason Myers, dude, 15 for 15 on the season, dude.
Nice.
And he hit a 61-yarder in week 10. So he's got the leg there, and it's a little bit difficult in the outdoors there. But also, punter. Not Bruce Dickinson, Dave. Not the Bruce Dickinson. Michael Dixon, dude.
Does he put his pants on every day just like you and I do?
He does, but when he has his pants on, he booms punts for 49.8 yards, okay? Nice. And he's only had – you know my favorite play in the NFL, Dave, is when they punt and the ball goes into the end zone.
Yeah, it's a blast.
How much I love it. He's only had 4 do that this year, so he's locking teams down inside the 20.
Nice.
And that field position is so huge. Against a team like the Seahawks. So they're getting contributions for all three phases of the game. And I mentioned these guys coming back. They're getting healthy at the right time, dude. And I believe this team has a legit chance for a Super Bowl run. After these Giants, they have the Jets, then at Washington football team, and then hosting the Rams, and then at the 49ers, dude. So they're in play for that one seed and trying to get that bye. It's not going to be the same advantage that it was in the past going to play those 12s, but, I'll take Russ at home versus the field in the NFC, man.
Yeah, and you just got to take care of business this week. This is going to be, this one that they just need to lock it up. Okay. Well, week 13 looks to be pretty exciting in the NFL, KC. All right, that is going to do it for the Trend Zone. So many ways to check out football, dudes. KC, we are available for subscription on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, wherever you get your podcasts, KC.
Yeah, subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Instagram and Facebook, and you gotta be following us on Twitter at FootballDudesLA.
All right, also, just head on over to footballdudes.com. It's all there for you. That's going to do it for the Trend Zone. For Casey, I'm Dave, and we are out of here.